Welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. For the third time this summer, we are so happy to have Viridian Strings with us here in Studio A. And we're also glad to have a live studio audience with us for this recording today. Let's have each of the four of you briefly introduce yourselves, tell us what instrument you play, and play a little bit on your instrument for us.
My name is Claire Wells, and I play the violin. And this is what it sounds like.
My name is Joe Skerrick, and I'm the violist.
My name is Kyle Stocknick, and I play the cello.
My name is Umi. I play the piano.
And you did not pick those phrases that you just played coincidentally, right? We're going to be hearing those.
Yes, you will.
Later on in the pieces that you're going to play. Now, for those of you just meeting Viridian Strings for the first time, the co-founders, Joe Skerrick and Kyle Stocknick, are both Northern Michigan natives and Interlochen Arts Academy alums. They come back home every summer for a few weeks and invite other friends and colleagues of theirs here to play chamber music around the region. So joining them this week are Claire Wells and Umi Garrett. And both of you two, this is not your first time playing with Viridian Strings here in Northern Michigan. Umi, you were here earlier this summer, and Claire, you've been here in past summers. What brings you back to the region and back to playing with Viridian Strings?
I'm very excited to be back, especially for this repertoire and playing with Claire. It's very exciting material, and the piano quartet repertoire, there's so much out there. And I think these two pieces, specifically the Schumann and the Brahms, that we will play later this week, are both iconic cornerstones of this repertoire. So I feel very honored to be here again.
The first time I came here, it was a really great time for so many reasons. And the nature here is kind of just the best, and being with these people and playing music together throughout the week and then performing them is like the highlight of it all. But getting to have some free time in this area and have a kind of easygoing space to allow us to just play and share, have food, good food. It's all just, you know, it's just a one thing that comes together. And so it's really great to be back.
So on your recitals this weekend, you are playing piano quartets by Robert Schumann and Johannes Brahms. Why did you choose those two pieces for this version of Viridian Strings and this set of recitals?
This pairing between Schumann and Brahms is kind of like a classic pairing. They were really, really good friends during their lifetime, and really used each other to bounce ideas off of, get to know each other. Robert Schumann's wife, Clara Schumann, the real kind of breadwinner of the family, was also a huge influence on Brahms. So I feel like their music really, really goes hand in hand, and it shows kind of two sides of the same coin of their lives in Germany and around during that time. And the piano quartet repertoire is so wonderful to play. Schumann only wrote the one piano quartet, but Brahms has three of them. So to be able to pair probably one of my favorite by Brahms, the G minor, with Schumann's E flat is really exciting. It's a really deep and brooding kind of piece, the Brahms is, and the Schumann is just very light and beautiful and has his classic kind of sound. There's thickness and a lot of intrigue going on, but it's almost like the strings just kind of pop out of the piano. It's a really amazing texture that he's able to bring in this music.
So of the three Brahms quartets, did you choose the one you're playing because it's such a contrast, or did you all get to weigh in on which of the three you were going to play, or how did you decide which one you'd pair with the Schumann?
I think I take the reins and I chose my favorite one.
But without much objection, it seems.
Without
like.
Any objection. Usually these guys are down to do anything. So that's why it's so great.
Well, you are going to play two movements from the Robert Schumann Piano Quartet in Studio A today. We'll start with the first movement. It starts slowly, sostenuto assai, and then it'll pick up into allegro ma non troppo.
Thank you.
We are in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio in front of a live studio audience. We heard the musicians of Viridian Strings, Claire Wells, Joe Skerrick, Kyle Stocknick, and Umi Garrett, playing the first movement of the piano quartet by Robert Schumann. Okay, folks, the parts that were those sort of cadential parts at the end of the sections where you're all playing together, how do you do that when you're all just playing together like that?
You watch the fingers helps a lot, actually. Not the eyes, but, you know, the bow and the fingers give a lot of information. And you're hopefully counting two, so it's kind of matching up two levels of anticipation. And usually that helps.
So are you watching Kyle and Claire together then? Or, like, are you watching, like, how
bow,
do you...
Yeah, both. Yeah, maybe Kyle's bow and Claire's fingers. Usually I can see her fingers and I can see Kyle's bow better.
See, now I keep my eyes closed while you're doing that.
Yeah, right, right. That's why I watch
it. I saw you had your eyes closed, Claire, and I thought, oh my gosh, she's...
Well, I guess for me it's a big matter of trust.
Right.
And then you know how these pieces go... But it's all about, like, how the people that you're playing with for the first time, how do they play it and how do we play it together? So it's like a matter of trust. And a lot of the times just listening will mm-hmm. bring you together because everyone's going to probably get inspired and want to do something and you just need to be there and listening. So I close my eyes. I can hear them though.
And Umi, you're back there at the piano. How do you stay attuned to what everyone's doing?
Well, my collaborators are all really wonderful at cueing, so that's really helpful. But it's also trust, like Claire said. There's some moments where I can't really look up. So I definitely feel like, you know, either Joe or Kyle or Claire, they're locking into what I'm doing. So it's a bit of give and take there as well. We usually follow Claire, but sometimes it goes with, you know, whoever's playing the main line or whatever. And I think also in rehearsal, we work really hard to try and find a pulse that we all can feel together. And so even if the tempo is changing a little bit, or if we're moving forward, or if we're pulling back, just rehearsing that so we can feel it together is really important.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what you folks are doing this week in addition to the two recitals on your schedule. You're working with us here at IPR on a couple of things. You're playing Friday night at the Alluvion and Saturday night at the Oliver Arts Center. But Wednesday night, Kyle and Joe, we have you presenting our classical happy hour concert at the Little Fleet in Traverse City, but we have a last minute program change.
Yes, so we're gonna invite our friend who's here, Claire Wells, and she'll be playing some of the Goldberg variations with us, so it'll be really fun.
Claire, I'd like to know how that conversation went when they were like, do you want to come to the food trucks and the outdoor bar and play Bach? Is that pretty much how it went?
Well, yes, because I just was in Copenhagen playing the whole Goldberg variations right before I came here, and Kyle and Joe were just talking about what they were going to do on Wednesday, and they were just like, do you want to play Goldberg? And I was like, yeah.
Who doesn't? So yes, we have a surprise addition to the program, including Bach's Goldberg variation. Now, Joe and Kyle, that gets you two off the hook for having to play a little less rep maybe than you had been planning. What else can we look forward to hearing at the Little Fleet?
We'll play a little music probably by Paul Bianco, Beethoven, Bartok, Bach, all the B's that are important, and a W.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. And then Kyle and Joe and Umi are coming on air Sunday night. Does Umi know this yet? Have you told her that you are
going?
Okay. You folks are going to be our co-hosts Sunday night for the World Youth Symphony Orchestra broadcast here on Classical IPR. And Umi, no offense to Kyle and Joe, but I'm especially excited to get your perspective because they're playing the Shostakovich Symphony No. 5, which has a piano part in it.
Amazing.
Which is very unusual. So I'm looking forward to... I was going to offer to get you a score, and then I realized who I was talking to. So
a score would be great.
Probably already have it in your brain. So how are you folks feeling about making your radio hosting debut on Sunday night with us?
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be
awesome. They're not ready.
So join us Sunday night to hear our friends from Viridian Strings as co-hosts for the World Youth Symphony Orchestra. Let's have another movement of the Schumann. As if we didn't hear enough contrasting characters in the first movement, now we're going to hear the third movement, which is Andante Cantabile.
Thank you.
don't think any of us wanted to be the first to clap there. The end of that third movement of Robert Schumann's Piano Quartet in E-flat major. We're in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio with Viridian Strings. This time around, it's Umi Garrett, Kyle Stocknick, Joe Skerrick, and Claire Wells.
Something wonderful about that movement is, on the radio you can't see this, but I'm sure that the people in the audience saw, during the beautiful viola solo, Robert Schumann asked for the cello to tune the C string down to a B flat. So instead of the C being the lowest note, the cello actually goes a whole step lower, so I can hold this octave while these guys ruminate on B flat. And it's a really, really amazing, stressful thing to do because you can't check it, really. I can do my best and I can try to listen through the wood of the instrument with my peg, but, you know, we do it live here at Viridian Strings.
You don't have a second stunt cello.
Yeah, some people do play it with two cellos. That's because they don't want to tune on stage. But I fortunately have mechanical pegs, so it makes it a lot more regular to tune it.
And as you were playing that movement, I was thinking about Robert Schumann's harmonic language, that, like, you think you're in one key and then, no, we're over here. Oh, just kidding. We were there for a phrase. And, like, how he moves around, and some of those harmonies sound like things that wouldn't come for 50 or 100 years later. It's really incredible.
Yeah. And this movement is really just a love song. A-B-A. Old school love song for his for his wife.
Well, if you thought that was a risky move there, Kyle, we're going to open up for questions from our assembled studio audience to ask you folks of Viridian Strings.
Well, it's very lovely to be in the space because the sound in here is just incredible because, of course, it's a studio. But my question is, would you please tell me about your instruments? I know this is probably the IPR piano, but I'd love to hear about your instruments.
Sure.
Sure. I'm very lucky to play on a violin created in 1648 by the well-loved violin maker Niccolo Amati. Made in Italy herself. Amati is like the kind of father of violin makers, of instrument makers. So this is one of his older ones, and it's lasted this long. So, and I also play on a Grand Adam bow, which is just as important as the instrument, if I may say so myself. And can't say any more than that.
I play on a modern instrument. My cello is a 2018 Raymond Schreier. He's a Canadian who lives in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. So I commissioned him to make the instrument, and when it was done, he drove it to my house in Traverse City, and I've never looked back. And I play on a modern bow as well by Christopher Graves from London.
I play on a viola made in 1989 or 1991, I can't ever remember, and it doesn't say inside, but it's one of those dates, and it was made in Philadelphia by Helmut Keller, who I believe emigrated from Germany earlier in the 20th century, and they're designed to look old, but they're not old, but they're wonderful. And I play on a bow by David Samuels, who is an Interlochen alone, splits his time between America and Israel, and it's a wonderful bow, amazing bow.
Yeah. I'm curious about the piece you played. How was it received back in those days? Was it considered to be a breakthrough piece, or did it reinforce popular trends at the time? Or what was the reaction, perhaps, of the critics or concertgoers?
I think it was premiered privately, and I think it was well received. A lot of our understandings of how Schumann's music was received is by Clara Schumann's, Robert Schumann's wife's, writings and reception, and she often contributed maybe suggestions or maybe revisions. And so I think she quite liked it. This piece was written in a kind of an explosive year of chamber music for Schumann himself. He wrote a lot of his important chamber music all within one year because he was very kind of manic and then wouldn't write for a long time or would struggle to write. So, and I think it is kind of a revolutionary piece. The composer that wrote significant piano quartets before Schumann would have been Mozart, and he was shot down. He was supposed to write 6. He wrote 1. No one bought it because it was too hard. So the project was abandoned. He only wrote 1 more, only for himself. And then Beethoven wrote a few that were left without opus, meaning he didn't catalog them. He didn't think they were good enough. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, in the grand scheme, I think it's quite significant.
I have a quote from Clara here where she wrote that in the evening we played Robert's E-flat major quartet for the first time at our place, and I was again truly delighted at this beautiful and so youthful work. So I think that's a beautiful qualifier, youthful, for this piece, even though I think there's some moments in it that feel so mature and, yeah, definitely, what do you say, like complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really amazing, fabulous work. And that relationship between Clara and Robert, I think, really, really comes out in today's age. You know, all you hear about is the celebrity breakups. And this, this was a power couple like no other. I think that their love was so unique and genuine. And I think Robert couldn't help but write about how much he enjoyed her. And she was one of the great pianists of probably all time.
Yeah.
And it shines through, especially in that third movement.
Mm-hmm.
The last few notes that you hear, the ba-da-ya, is actually her name, his motif that he wrote to signal to her that was about her.
And I'd just like to add, Schumann in his day was a leading music critic himself and kind of set the tone. And so he paraded Brahms out as kind of a great successor, and Brahms cohabitated with Robert and Clara when he was a young man. Mm-hmm. So the connection goes incredibly deep. Yeah. So I don't know what Robert Schumann himself thought about the piece, but I suppose he would have been the leading voice on it.
He didn't write about his own.
I'm sure he did, but I don't know what he said about it.
This IPR studio is as close up and personal as I have ever been, and we really appreciate it. And it causes us and lets us to look at the expressions on your faces. And I was going to ask Claire, because she seems to be, if anybody could be the most emotive visually, I think she's it. And when did that happen for you? When did it become, I'm taking a violin lesson, and suddenly that you felt it?
Oh God, I have to think. I think as I've grown as a performer, I've changed a lot. There was definitely a definitive phase in my life where I outgrew any, what's it called, like, limits to my soul on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I feel like really, like, embodying and feeling empowered in the music that I'm sharing is just so that what happens on my face and in my body language is just something that naturally happens. So I don't think I'm very eloquent these days, but I feel like coming into myself, mm-hmm, as a musician and a performer is an ongoing process, and I'm always tweaking how I am on stage. I don't want to be too much. You know, you always want to serve the experience. But being myself, who I am at my core, is someone that is expressive. So it's just a natural happening of life.
We enjoy it.
Viridian Strings will present piano quartets by Johannes Brahms and Robert Schumann Friday night at the Alluvion in Traverse City and Saturday night at the Oliver Art Center in Frankfurt. We've got details at classicalipr.org. Viridian Strings, thank you folks so much for coming to Studio A today.
Thank you.
Jack Connors engineered this edition of Studio A. Emma Stadelman is our digital content producer. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for listening.